Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay. So Western Ocean Second Wave, Chapter 36, Verse 3-2-28. Another example from Padyavali. Let the Atma of pure consciousness reside in the hearts of those who know the supreme truth beyond meditation. But may that Atma with sweet nature, with lotus eyes, yellow cloth, complexion of a rain cloud, and slightly smiling lotus face remain in our hearts. Srila Prabhupada. In Padyavali, a devotee says, persons who are attached to speculative knowledge for self-realization, who have decided that the supreme truth is beyond meditation, and who have thus become situated in the mode of goodness, let them peacefully execute their engagement. As for us, we are simply attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is by nature so pleasing, who possesses a complexion like a blackish cloud, who is dressed in yellow garments, and who has beautiful lotus-like eyes. We wish only to meditate upon him. Srila Jiva Goswami. The first part of this verse expresses the inferiority of realizing Atma, because even though it is the object of knowledge, it cannot be known in detail, right? Because that was a saying that who is beyond meditation. So they can't know the detail. They have that by meditation, means the jnanis and the yogis, they can get an idea that the supreme, and they may even get that there's a form, but they can't get detail, because the detail is the personality. You know, so they can't. So he's saying here, the Atma with lotus eyes is superior because he's supreme lord and most attractive. And so they says, as for us, we are simply attached to the Supreme Personality of God. So these great jnanis and yogis, they can do this meditation and understand the supreme, you know, beyond meditation and all that. They can do that, but we won't. We're just going to be absorbed in the personality of Godhead and his wonderful character. So these are the servants. Right? Yes, no?
Mm-hmm. When we read those prayers, or when we try to pray, actually the official position then we should follow as it is written in Padyavali. But the level and the feeling that we have, it's that of a yogi, that we have a concept of the supreme, but no details, no form, form is there, no qualities. Qualities are also there, but not very detailed. No pastimes, basically. I mean, we know the pastimes, but it's not that it's any, you know, like... So, how can we pray with the heart, although it's not our level of attachment?
Well, it means you have this element here, is it's not just about him as the supreme. You know, or how he's pervading everything, or these aspects of controlling. It's about, because he's a person, and how he is a person and interacts with his devotees. That's what we're praying for. Maybe we don't know so much, but it's not, but that goal, that still is common. That's what we're trying to obtain. Does that make sense? Because, see, it's not about volume of knowledge. It's about the taste in it. So what they're showing is the second is just the taste for that serving that personality of Godhead. That's greater than just appreciating his greatness. Does that make sense? So the point is the jnanis and the yogis, that they'll realize that, and then the supreme so far beyond. But for us, it's that that person, that's the one we're approaching. So they're satisfied in the meditation and just knowing that it's approaching the Supreme. Well, for us, we would like to be involved with the Supreme. Because Krishna is a person. So as a person, then he is there. He's more interested that we go back to Godhead than we are. You know, but we're stubborn. That prophet points that out, I think in the prayers of Queen Kunti, that he wants us to go back to Godhead, but we're quite stubborn, so we have our own ideas of what we want to do. Yeah, we'll go back to Godhead, but you know, first I have to make this sandwich, or you know, check my email, you know, something like this. So we're always quite busy. So it's the person is who we're praying to, because we are who we are. We are the Atma. We are the servant of Krishna. So it's not that because we don't realize it, that it's not the fact. So based on that, we've heard from the authority that we want to be established in that position. So even without knowing everything, you can still pray for that position. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So that was the, what were they called? The Sharanyas, those who are surrendered. Okay. Now we have the Sevan Nishtas, 3229. Those who from the beginning are attached to serving the Lord are called Sevan Nishta, fixed in service. Examples are Chandadvaja, Shiva, Indra, King Bahulasva, Ikshvaku, Shutadev, and Pundarika. 3230, an example. O Krishna, when your qualities are sung in an assembly, even the Atmaramas become attracted to listen, and the bird-like renunciates residing in lonely gardens take up the activity of begging to hear. Hearing about your excellent, astonishing qualities, I have become distinctly greedy to serve you with faith. And so they want to do something like that. The other one is that there is that, they're surrendering to the Lord. So they're taking that step beyond the Shantaras. So that is completely absorbed in the Lord, but it's not that surrender and that interactive aspect. You said it means that, does that make sense? They're absorbed. So here you see is that as soon as they come, they just immediately want to serve. Well, the other ones, then they want to surrender. Then they'll serve. These ones, just they become inspired to just serve. So there's less focus on that mood of that surrender as more of just that inspiration to serve when they come in contact.
So in Dasharas, or the Shravan group, the idea is to be situated in Dasharas begins with a surrender.
Yes, yes.
So you can surrender and serve just by hearing?
Yes.
That's a service.
Yeah, it's also a service. Like that. I think that's mentioned before, is that who were those examples of those devotees? Does it say who the Sharanyas are?
Sharanyas, not Sharanyas.
Kalinga, the kings kept in prison by Jarasandha, are an example of Sharanyas.
Kaliya.
Kaliya? Oh, yeah, Kaliya. You know, they want to be engaged as servants, but there's that strong mood of that, they're surrendering all that mood and then doing service. While these other ones, they just see the Lord, hear about the Lord, and they just immediately want to serve. So does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just a slight difference in flavor.
Can the wife of the yogic brahmana be in that mood also, just by, because they live on the edge of Mathura and Vrindavan, they hear constantly, they never met Krishna. Mm. They just hear about him all the time, they get so attracted. They finally get a chance to meet him, they just run to him.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's one person who stands back and burns in the fire of separation.
Yeah. But they're in a conjugal rasa.
A conjugal
rasa. Yeah, so it probably has some other right. ways of. Because the conjugal has its own way it breaks down. These other ones then have more kind of like standard, just standard what we're used to divisions. You know, they're subtle, but they're there. But the conjugal will have its own kind of approach because of the complications that come with that relationship. Because they just wanted to be wives of Krishna. But Krishna's point was as well, in Vrindavan I don't get married, so therefore they'll have to, it'll have to be some other situation. So what it worked out for them, I'm not sure, but yeah. Srila Prabhupada, those who are from the very beginning of the self-realization attached to devotional service are called seva nishta, right? So they're attached to the service right from the beginning. So in the beginning might be not attracted, everyone's attracted by various things, but one who is just immediately attracted by service. Seva nishta means simply attached to devotional service. The best examples of such devotees are Lord Shiva, King Indra, King Bahulasva, King Ikshvaku, Shutadeva, and Pundarik. One devotee says, "My dear Lord, your transcendental qualities attract even liberated souls and carry them to the assembly of devotees where your glories are constantly chanted. Even great sages who are accustomed to living in solitary places are so attracted by the songs of your glory. And observing all your transcendental qualities, I have become attracted and have decided to dedicate my life to your loving service." So there's this surrender, of that thing of master and servant, but here's that surrender in that I'm going to perform the activities. So, does that make sense? So you see is that the Sharanya is in Dasya, but it kind of has a little touch of the flavor of the Shanta. Mm-hmm. Well, this will be, you could probably say your this aspect here. Then the next one will probably be a touch of the other towards that direction. Not of the rasa, but just of the kind of the essential point of it. The one is that has the element of the knowledge and everything, and then surrender. Well, this one is like, that's there, but the focus is on the surrender. Srila Jiva Goswami. The word vihagan can be taken as a metaphor for performers of austerities who like birds, vihagan, reside in lonely gardens, are made to take up the practice of begging in the assembly where your glories are sung, because they desire to hear about your qualities. Or the word can be taken literally to mean birds. In that case, it can be a zealous statement of exaggeration, meaning even the birds residing in lonely gardens are made to take up the practice of begging to hear your glories, such as the attraction of your qualities. So either way it works. This is similar to saying, in solitary places, even the stones cry on hearing the stories of noble men who suffer. Uttara Charita from Raghunath Das. That statement cannot be taken literally and means hearts as hard as thunderbolts split from hearing stories of suffering in lonely places. Okay. So either if you're taking it in its natural form, I mean the sages, or you want to take it in its poetic form, then either way it works. 3231. In Dwarka, Uddhava, Daruka, Satyaki, Shutadev, Satyarujit, Nanda, Upananda, and Bhadra are known as Parishats, members of the assembly or followers. Yeah, I think it's that one time Bahulastra and Shutadev, there's that pastime when Krishna goes and then visits the both of them. Like that. So then they would be specifically, because you see who else is there? Shiva, Indra, Ikshvaku, so that's on another level. That's a different pastime. But here in the pastimes here, then you see is that the Bahulastva and Shutadev, then they're very prominent amongst these. So that he went to visit them because basically they're kind of like, you could say, the outstanding ones within that category of Seva Nishna.
Nice pastime.
Sorry?
It's a very nice pastime.
Yes, yes, yes. 3231, in Dwarka, okay, we read that. 3232, though they are also serve as advisors, charioteers, and other functionaries, at other times they act as this retinue. Right, so they have specific services they're doing, but it can be just as he's moving around, they're there with him, ready to do service. Because if any time he wants his chariot, or any time he wants some advice, or any time he wants some other thing, they're there. So you always see is that these great personalities, they have their retinue, or, those that they always are with. Their associates and like this. And so then they're part of that group. So that's different from the ones who just want to serve. These are ones they're associates of the Lord. So they're always with the Lord. Does that make sense? So you get that because you have that aspect where there's a point being made by the acharyas that in the evening, then before going, in the evening time for Radharani, then all everybody's there, all the associates are there, their group is there, their gana is there, and so Radharani, it's basically like Radharani's court. So then she's sitting there and that, and so they're talking and singing or performances, all kinds of things are going on for just the entertainment of Radharani and the associates. I mean, yeah. But you see is that because it's so wonderful, then most just want to be there because they just, it's so nice, they just want that to go on forever. But some, then they know that it's getting time to go to bed, and if you go to bed, then that much earlier you can go out to go meet Krishna. So then they, while everybody else is sitting there with Radharani, they go into the in place to set up the bed, make everything ready for the night. Does that make sense? So that will be different. So they don't have that aspect to it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So if they're around, they're there, but they're ready to do something at all times. So when everybody else is together, they're off doing something. Or you have the example where you have the aspect of that famous one where I think it's Raghunath, maybe it's Raghunath Das. Raghunath Das or Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. They're fanning, Radha and Krishna are in the kunj. So you have the those ceiling fan kind of things. Yeah. Right, so you pull the rope from outside. Yeah. And so they're doing that, they're fanning, and then Rupa comes and says, leave that, go pick flowers. Mm-hmm. I'm doing this nice service to them personally. But then it's just immediately. Just go because that's what needs to be done. Because you'll be absorbed in that and just go with that. And somebody will be absorbed in that. That's good. It has to be done. But at the same time, as you do have to arrange for the next aspect of the pastime. And so that requires fresh flowers. Because now they've been in the kunj, so then Radharani's, hair and flowers and clothes will be disheveled. Right? And Lalita's been out. She's been arranging, for the rasa dance. So she's gone for setting that up. Because when they come and meet, then a group will stay there and Lalita will take another group and go set up. Because you have that, big area. You have to sweep it, clean it, set it up, bring all the instruments, do all the different things. No?
Yeah.
Yeah. So then they bring flowers and all that before Lalita gets back. They completely dress Radharani again so she doesn't look like she spent any time with Krishna. And then Radha and Krishna will be sitting there. And then when Lalita comes back, she'll be surprised. And so just for that moment of surprise, that happiness for Radharani, because their friends are equals, so you always do something to, create some. So then that's been done. And so you've been able to take part in that. Well, otherwise, you could just fan. And then the problem is that, it's not a problem, but I'm saying, you just take part in that. But it doesn't. So we like that because of that intimacy. But preparing for something that will create that, it has another aspect of that intimacy. Does that make sense? Yeah. So there's in other words, it's about them. It's a, yeah. Yes.
Also, a similar example in from the Shri's Anantacharya. So once he was preparing garlands and then the pujari calls and informs that the Lord is calling him. He said, wait, I'm coming. And he goes, calls again. He says, wait, I'm coming. I'm preparing a garland. And then after a long time, then he comes. And then the Lord speaks to him and just says that, when I am calling you, why don't you come immediately? He says, what will I do by coming in front of you? Now I have this garland to offer to you, which I am preparing as a service to you. So then the whole pastime shows how serving as Lord and doing something for him is more important than just hanging out.
Yeah, so then there are those who do just hang out and they're just ready for a service to come up. Then those who just want to do service. Yeah, so you have the difference. Yes?
So among those three, who would be that those group that just ready to do any service? Or it doesn't matter?
If they're ready to do service but they're always with him, then those are the parikshats. Means they're the associates. So they're there ready, like Uddhava is there. Nothing may be happening, but then when something's there, it'll come up. Like you see when Narad Muni goes around to all the palaces, you know, and there's, you know, marriages, all these different things are going on, then certain devotees are always with Krishna in every palace. So Uddhava will be there, and depending on the situation, something formal in that, then Vasudeva and Devaki will be there, and you know, Akrura, and that. So these would be, you know, in this, they're in their own rasa, but it's that idea. They're associates, and so when there's something to do, then they do it. Right? But otherwise, they're just there to be there with the Lord, and because there's always someone there, because it's nice that you know that if you want something done, someone's there that can get it done. Right? In some sense. But then he's pointing out, there's this other mood that, unless they're doing a service, then why would they be there? So that, you know, he's saying Ananta Acharya is showing that aspect. So that's the Seva Nishtha aspect. Right. So does that make sense? Mm-hmm. So they just feel unless there's something to do. You know, it's just like you see, there's individuals who something's going on and all that, and the other people just are happy to just be there and stand there and watch and smile. Well, there's someone else who can't do that. They're always moving around, being busy, doing this, doing that. They have to do something.
But really, there's no such a thing as there's nothing to do on the spiritual path. It means just engage otherwise.
But it's the flavor is that of an associate, or the flavor is that of someone who's just constantly doing service, or the flavor is that of someone who surrenders.
Yeah.
So it's not that they're not with the Lord or they're not serving. It's just a matter which is the prominent flavor in their mood. You know, that they always have that mood of surrender to the Lord. Therefore, they're serving and associating. Or that they want to do service, because they're surrendered, but they're doing service and they'll be around the Lord to do that. The other ones, they're around the Lord, they're associates of the Lord, because they're surrendered and they're ready to do any service. Mm-hmm. It's just a matter of the focus, it's just where the emphasis is. Yeah.
Just to elaboration, in this pastime what happens is the Lord becomes angry that why didn't you come when I called for the first time? Because the Lord becomes angry, he becomes angry. Okay, why I should prepare a garland? And he throws the garland down and then he goes off. The Lord says, wait, and he takes the garland. Sorry. It's like it's more intimate than...
Yeah, so each have a unique intimacy. But it's just a different flavor where the emphasis is. You know? It's just what you want to bring out. Yes.
I think even reading, you know, memoirs by Srila Prabhupada's disciples, they, you know, those who served him intimately, they had their own flavor. Like Shyamasundara had his own flavor.
Yeah.
And Shruta Kirtan and Hari Suri.
Yeah.
Like that.
What was his name? Upendra.
Upendra, yeah.
Yeah.
So all of them, you know, they have their own... It's all servants.
Yes.
But within that, they have their own, you know, like special flavor of relationship with Prabhupada. Like Shyamasundara, I'm writing his second book, you know, The Chasing the Rhinos with the Swami. Chasing Rhinos with the Swami.
Chasing the
Rhinos.
Rhinos.
Yeah, the rhinos. Sorry.
Okay, the white rhinos. The rhinoceros, okay. Okay.
Yeah. So then he says that one of his moods with Srila Prabhupada was laughing. Like they laughed so much. And Prabhupada, because of the particular nature of the person, he actually liked to laugh with Shyamasundara, and he was cracking jokes but with others he was more like kind of formal.
Yeah, everyone different. Yeah, I remember Bhavananda was saying that Prabhupada never chastised them. you know, he was saying, because he knew my ego was too big, I couldn't handle it. So he was always dealing with him differently, like Rameshwar, Guru Kripa, oh boy, thunderbolts. You know? But with him, he never did that.
I can, you know, when I was serving the Krishna Maharaj, I tried everything to get away from the service.
Uh-huh.
And I, you know, he said, prove it to me, and, you know, why you need to go. I said, it's just too much for me, I can't handle it. I said, there are so many other qualified people, to give me the names. Not you, Danny, there's no way. I said, why do you want to keep me? He says, I'd just like you to be around.
So there you are. Parishad.
Official.
Official Parishad.
We found.
If you have no service, just be around.
Yeah. Just it's there because you know that the option is there. That anytime you could get anything done. So if you need to get something done or call somebody or clean something or cook something or just if he has something he wants to discuss, then you're somebody who could do that. You know, I said. You know, as we said. My uncle would say, nobody knows what the hose nose knows. Yeah, so it's like, you know, he's the guy, he knows it all.
Yeah, like in the morning with the Krishna Maharaj, you put his tilak on, and he'd be standing there, he goes, so, what are the news?
Yeah, they just want to know that what's going on here and there, what's happening, he's going to get a great fun.
I'd say, what do you want first, the good one or the bad one?
Yeah. Yeah, so like that. And that's just that they have their own unique flavors. Because you don't.
So it's a service to just hang out with
Guru. Yes, that's the whole point. It's a service. So, and because they're ready to serve. They're surrendered, they're ready to serve, but the hanging out is the. The you could say the unique aspect. While the other one, they're always busy doing something, and so that's the unique aspect. The other one is that constant mood of surrender. That's the unique aspect. So all three things are there. It's just a matter of what's the emphasis. You know, it's just like, let's say you have a pizza. You know, then let's say like the, you know, one of Napoli or the Roma pizza, they have a really thick crust underneath, but super fluffy. Like that. Well, then see, and then more of the northern and all that, they have the thinner crust, you know, and then some put more of the tomato or less of the tomato, more of the cheese, less of the cheese. It's all pizza, it's just which is the emphasis. That makes sense. And then everyone has their taste.
That's the Jerusalem pizza.
with artichokes.
I was reading once
when
Purana, then it's mentioned there that king, he has many ministers, but the minister who hangs out with the king always, he has the special qualities that he can entertain the king by telling appropriate stories according to the situation and mm-hmm. Driving towards.
Okay, so that's how Tenali Ram and
Gopal
Bhan, they started there, just hanging out because they could do, but then they eventually turned into the prime ministers.
Birbal also
was like that. Oh, I didn't know. I always thought Birbal actually just started off as a main minister. Oh, okay. So similar. Okay. So that's why they all the stories get mixed up. So in here, because we're dealing with rasa, then it's a matter of which flavor is prominent. Doesn't mean the other ones aren't there. It's just which one becomes more prominent.
Is Uddhava in that kind of category?
Yes. So Dwarka, this is in Dwarka, so each place will have its particular ones. So Uddhava there, because he's the head of them. Daruka, because he's the chariot driver. Satyaki, he's the commander-in-chief of the army. Shrutadeva, I'm not sure, it seems he's a Brahmin. Satrajit, then he's the father of...
Satrajit.
Yeah, good point. Okay. Nanda, Upananda, and Bhadra. So these are in Dwarka, so they must be others than in Vrindavan. Like that. So then they're always there. They have their services, but they're always around. Like I noticed here also. A lot of times the big managers, then they'll hang around, you know, when they're moving around and that, they'll hang out like with the temple presidents, regional secretaries, or, you know, other sannyasis and stuff like that. because it's not that they're doing something, it's just they're someone who you could talk, what you would talk about on your level, they would relate to it. Well, if they just, you know, people that just want to hang out, what do you talk to them about? You know, they just sit there and smile. You know, that's it. No?
Well, that's a Western kind of culture, but Bengalis, they just stand up and walk away. They don't hang out with people that they like. They can't associate.
No, yeah, that's true.
They couldn't be bothered.
Yeah, but when they get back to the ashram and they break out that tin of mudi in the morning and it's kept under the bed, then you see that's who the parikshats are.
Yes.
You know, because you got the muri, but you know, if you have the muscle, this guy's got the chickpeas, and that guy's got a couple of samosas, you know, the other guy's got a bucket, you know, and then you mix it all together. Like that. No? Though they serve as advisors, charioteers, and other functionaries, at other times they act as his retinue. Maybe that R, you don't need. In the same way, among the Kuru dynasty, Bhishma, Parikshit, and Vidura are known as Parikshats. So then if Krishna's there, then they'll be around, and they'll be like that. So that's it in the Kuru dynasty. So because Indraprastha, or the Kuru, the Hastinapur, Indraprastha, that's all connected with Dwarka. Not in the same place, so they kind of, you know, come in and out of the pastime. They're kind of like a satellite of within the same universe, you could say. Srila Jiva Goswami. Shrutadeva and Satyajit are mentioned in Bhagavatam 1.14.29 and 32. This Shrutadeva is different from the Brahman of Mithila, who is mentioned as a Sevan Nishtha, so it's a different in verse 29. Paricharya means to act as I guess it would be as an attendant, according to one's capacity. So, yeah, so you're an attendant, you're always there, like that. So you have, you know, it's just like, let's say, you have also, like, the queen has her maids in waiting. They're always there. They're ready to do anything that needs to be done, but otherwise she walks around, they walk around. You know, she's dressed nice, they're dressed in the same kind of thing. Like that, when something needs to be done, they do it. And then you have those who just do the services. And so, yeah. 3.2.33, their form. The Parishads always look most splendid, with charming forms, with yellow dress like the Lord, with radiance that defeats the Devatas, and with profuse ornaments, right? So they look good. Because otherwise they're hanging out with him, so they'll always have that. Srila Prabhupada, constant associates. So everybody may be associate, but their parishad because they're constant associates. So, yeah. In the city of Dwarka, the following devotees are known as Krishna's close associates. Uddhava, Daruka, Satyaki, Shrutadeva, Satyajit, Nanda, Upananda, and Bhadra. All these personalities remain with the Lord as the secretaries, but still they are sometimes engaged in his personal service. Among the Kuru dynasty, Bhishma, Maharaj Parikshit, Vidura is known as close associates of Lord Krishna. It is said, quote, all the associates of Lord Krishna have lustrous bodily features, and their eyes are just like lotus flowers. They have sufficient power to defeat the strength of the demigods, and the specific feature of their persons is that they are always decorated with valuable ornaments. I guess with the Lord, he also gives nice things and all that. You know, he gets something new, he gives the old ones away. So that way, then, they're always dressed very well. Yes?
As I mentioned, that Uddhava, when he came to Braj, he was dressed exactly like Krishna because it's all Maha from Krishna.
Yeah, yeah.
But one interesting fact that sometimes Krishna even gave him his kostuba jam to wear. So Uddhava was walking around sometimes. So, you know, in Dwarka, everybody was like, is this Krishna? Or is this? Because he looked similar.
Yeah.
So even kostuba sometimes was hanging around his neck.
That's cool. So he's kind of has the Sarupya aspect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Has the same form as Krishna.
Yeah, exactly the same. And another interesting fact is that his kala wasn't like that in the beginning.
It wasn't?
No, it changed when he reached certain age. Okay. The whole form, because of the intense meditation on the Lord,
okay.
The whole form changed and the color of the body changed.
Okay.
Vigyan Maharaj mentioned it.
Oh, that's far out. Mm-hmm. So there's some pastime for that.
Yeah.
And so far, the Puranas and all these things, that all these details are there, but you know, there'll be one little bit like that, you know, one verse on that, and this Purana, another one in that. And
because he said that according to his caste, he couldn't be that black. He was much more bright.
Ah.
Yeah, his original color was light.
Okay, okay. Okay. Hmm. That's fine. Yeah. I guess, okay, because they're also that thing. Because Arjuna was also that color, and Draupadi.
Yeah.
The Kshatriyas, they also wouldn't be that color. But I guess the meditation on Krishna creates that.
I don't know when people get from that Nada when he's got blonde hair and blue eyes.
I don't know about the blue eyes, but I heard the blonde hair. Blonde hair it always mentions. Yeah. Means it's the golden hair it always mentions.
Yeah. Vamana. Kapiladev,
yeah. But I would say the golden, it would be probably a bit more, it wouldn't be as flat. Because a lot of the blondes are like, it's more of a flax color.
Yeah.
But it would be you know, there's a little bit of like the gray in it. It's white with that little bit of gray and a touch of yellow. There would probably be a bit more of the yellow, like that. So it'd be a little bit brighter. And it's like you see in really good quality tussar silk. It's more golden colored, and if it's not so good, it's a little bit more. It goes a little bit more kind of flat or gray. It's not as bright. So I think that the and their form is probably that color also. So. Yeah. So these you know, you'll have these features and all that, but it's not. It won't be a standard. Three 2:32. Their bhakti, your parishads headed by Uddhava, with their intelligence offered to you, constantly uttering glorification of your victory over Shiva, with words choked up by tears, and with great confidence showing not even a spot of fear from Rudra with his fire of devastation, are standing at the gate of Dwarka, eager to do service. Srila Prabhupada, when Krishna was in the capital, Indraprastha, someone addressed him thus, "My dear Lord, your personal associates, headed by Uddhava, are always awaiting your order by standing at the entrance gate of Dwarka. They are mostly looking on with tears in their eyes, and in enthusiasm of their service, they are not afraid even of the devastating fire generated by Lord Shiva. They are souls simply surrendered unto your lotus feet." Srila Jiva Goswami. This is the statement of some devotee speaking to Krishna when he had gone to Indraprastha. Shamsan means praising. The Parishads in Dwarka do not have even, I guess, the slightest contamination of fear caused by the disturbance of the fire of final destruction. Or they do not consider the slight fear they may have from Rudra's fire of destruction, like that. So even if they have, if they don't consider it. So either there is no fear, or even if there's a little, they don't consider it. Thus, these devotees of the Lord do not have even a speck of fear from Rudra with his fire of destruction because of confidence in the greatness of the Lord's protection, Madat. Having taken shelter of the Lord, they should not have even a shadow of fear. The meaning is that they do not give much regard for Shiva and the fire of destruction. So that's the point that's made. The superiority of the Parishads over the Adikritas such as Shiva are shown here. Out of great longing, they stand at the outermost door of Dwarka, waiting for the Lord. So the Adi Kritas, those were all the demigods and all those great personalities, right?
Appointed,
yes, position. And then we had the next group was the, you know, that we just had all these breakdowns. This all is a group within which group? Okay, these are the Ashranyas. These are all parts of
Ashritas.
Okay, those who take shelter. Okay, so of the Ashritas, you have the Sharanya, the Sevanishta. Oh, I see. Sharanya. Okay, the Sharanya is also the Gyanis, who previously were and then took shelter of the Lord. So that's why then they go beyond that aspect of meditation. Okay. So that's these Ashritas, then they're not worried about the Adi Kritas. Because they're powerful in this and that, and they know their power comes from Krishna, so they're not worried about them. Yes.
The story of one of the 12 Agavas is Bhaktisar, who is the one who is like great mystic kind of thing. Once he was sitting in a place and peacefully meditating, and then Parvati Devi and Lord Shiva will be going, and she becomes very happy seeing she's such a nice devotee meditating on Lord Vishnu. Let us go and give him some benediction. Mm-hmm. And then Lord Shiva says, don't mess with him, like, no, baby, let us go. She's very enthusiastic, and they go there. And then Lord Shiva speaks, and he doesn't even respond. He doesn't even bother to
acknowledge. He's meditating on Vishnu.
He's this mode because
okay.
He doesn't even acknowledge their presence. And then I think Parvati Devi anyway gives him some very nice golden shawl or something. But in his meditation, he manifests even better one. He doesn't require anything. Let's go.
Yeah, always such nice pastime. Yeah, it's always the idea that you can benedict, and that I think there's that. What's his name? Tansen's guru in Vrindavan, devotee?
Yeah.
Haridas, yeah. So, Tansen was singing for Akbar, and his singing is so good. Akbar was, you know, asked him afterwards, you know, is there anyone who's like your equal? Because he has 30 court musicians, and then there's Tansen. You know, so all the other 30 are quite envious. And so then he says, yes, my guru. And so then Akbar, wow, I'd like to hear him, you know, like that. But he says, you know, you can't go like this. So he goes there. He takes him, and he's dressed up as an ordinary person. And then he goes, and his guru sees him, and so then he tells him something, hey, sing this. And so then he sings it wrong on purpose. And his guru gets upset, no, you sing it like this. And then that way, suddenly then Akbar was so impressed, so he says, you know, then he stood up and he announced, you know, told who he was and that, and he wants to do some service and all that, and he gave, you know, he said, you know, can I do some service? And he says, two aspects. He says, yes, it's on the steps, you know, going down to the ghat. One of the steps is a chip on it. You can fix that, you know, because otherwise it's annoying. You go and you can, you know, slip and stuff. Nakbar is, you know, kind of like, you know, I'm the emperor of India. You can anything, and you just want me to fix this little chip on the step. You know, so then he, you know, then he goes over to look at the step, and then, because, you know, he's just saying the proud of my aspect, and then he reveals actually the uppercut, so he actually sees, what Vrindavan actually is, the steps and what they're made of and everything, you know, Bhavaslauda, this, that, and all this kind of stuff. Then he understands, oh, okay, can't give anything. I'm not sure that he also gave a necklace, very valuable necklace, you know, like one of those, you can't give price to them. And he took it, looked at it like that, and then tossed it into the water. You know, just there at the neck of the god. He says, that's priceless. Why would you do that? He says, oh, okay, so it's important to you. See, he told one of the brahmacharis there, he says, hey, you know, get a stick, dig it out. You know, get it out. So then he goes in there with a stick, and he pulls out all kinds of them. He like, you know, dozens of them. And like that, you know, there are way more opulent than the one he gave. And he says, which one is yours? I don't know which one it is. So there's that aspect of those with great, the adikritas, when you try to, you know, show some opulence than these other ones that they know. Yeah, so out of great longing, you stand at the outermost door of Dwarka waiting for the Lord. So they're just waiting there, and when he comes, then they'll go out. They're just waiting at the outermost door, just whenever they're going to come back from Indraprastha. 3.2.35. Among these parishats, Uddhava, controlled by Prema, is the best. Srila Jiva Goswami. Prema, Viklava, means controlled by Prema. Klava means distress, according to the grammarium Vopadeva. And Vishesha, Nigna, Varga of the Amrakosh says, Viklavo, Vi-lava, Syat. Viklava means agitation. Thus, Viklavate means to be agitated. According to Kshiraswami, means to be overcome with fear or other emotions, according to other commentaries. Smiling, then a quote from Bhagavatam, smiling upon hearing these despondent words from the gopis, Lord Krishna, the supreme master of all masters of mystic yoga, mercifully enjoyed with them, although he is self-satisfied. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.29.39. In that verse, viklavitam means words under the sway of lamentation, according to Sridhar Swami. So his control by praying means that, you know, he's always agitated by praying and always absorbed in that, and that anxiety that comes that, you know, to do something and be absorbed. So therefore that distress, it means that it's in connection with devotional service. He's always absorbed. 3.2.36, Uddhava's form. I worship Uddhava with dark complexion like the Jamuna, wearing yellow cloth and the garlands used by Krishna, his arms like door bolts and eyes like lotuses. He is the chief of the parishads, filled with waves of bhakti. Srila Prabhupada. Out of the many close associates of Lord Krishna, Uddhava is considered the best. The following is a description of him. His body is blackish like the color of the Jamuna River, and it is similarly as cool, because then you have the form, the shama form, where the skin, if it's warm outside, the skin, the touch of the skin will feel cool. And if it's cold outside, the skin will feel warm. Mm-hmm. Like that. You know, so in India, mostly it's hot, so you appreciate that side the best. So it's considered a very special quality. So like all the gopis, they all have that quality. He is always decorated with... So he's blackish, so he's shama in color, but he's also shama... Have say the feel of the touch of the body. Mm-hmm. Some sense. So both aspects of shama. He is always decorated with flower garlands, first used by Lord Krishna, and he is dressed with yellow silk clothing. His two arms are just like the bolts of a door. His eyes are just like lotus flowers. And he is the most important devotee among all the associates. Let us therefore offer our respectful obeisances unto Uddhava's lotus feet. 3.2.37, his bhakti. Uddhava said, though he is the controller of Shiva and Brahma, he carries the order of Ugrasena on his head. Though he is the master of billions of universes, He prays for a small piece of land near the ocean. Though he is the ocean of knowledge, he asked me and an unintelligent fool for advice. In this way, our amazing master enjoys his pastimes constantly with persons such as me. Right, so they appreciate that greatness and all that of the Lord, but then how, despite his position and that devotion that's there. Does that make sense? So you'll see that in the Dorkavasis, and that they'll have that aspect that they understand his greatness, but they're attracted by that sweetness that he applies in his pastimes. But if you emphasize the greatness a lot, they click into that, because it's a foundation of their relationship. While in Vrindavan, they don't have that. That's not the reason that they find the rasa special. Like here, it's that he's so great, but he's so kind too. You know, he's a great person, but he stopped and talked to the person, or, you know, interacted with that little girl, or did like that. They just think, you know, how is that? He's so great, and he has, you know, he'll be so busy and this and that, but he took the time to interact, and that you know, is a specialness. Does that make sense? So that's the combination between the majesty and sweetness. But Braj is just, those things don't matter. They're not the reason they're attracted. They're just attracted by the sweetness of the Lord. So the sweetness that they're tasting, you can see, is much more intense, much greater. And like we saw, it's that, you know, the level that the associates get up to, they go up to a certain place, like that. But in Dwarka, everybody is a little farther. Mm-hmm. I mean, in Vrindavan, they're a little farther. Srila Prabhupada, Uddhava has described the transcendental qualities of Sri Krishna as follows. Lord Sri Krishna, who is our master and worshipable deity, the controller of Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma, the controller of the whole universe as well, accepts the controlling orders of Ugrasena, his grandfather. He is a proprietor of millions of universes, but still he begged little land from the ocean. And although he is just like an ocean of wisdom, he sometimes consults me. He is so great and magnanimous, yet he's engaged in different activities, just like an ordinary person. 3.2 38. So that was, now we've done the Adikritas. And then these were the
Parshad.
No, but the Parshad was Ashripas. Yeah. And so that. Now then Anugas. That's the next group, right? That's the third group of servants. 3.2.38. Anugas. Those whose hearts are at all times attached to attending upon the Lord are called Anugas, attendants. Right? Because you have Parishads who are like associates, and then you have those who are like attendants. There are two types, those in Dwarka and those in Braja. Suchandra, Mandana, Stamba, Sutamba are some of the Anugas in Dwarka. Their forms and ornaments are almost the same as those of the Parishads. So it's almost the same, and a little bit slightly different. 3.2.40. Their service. Mandana holds an umbrella with a golden handle over Krishna's head. Suchandra fans him with a white chandra. Sutamba offers betel nut. In this way, the devotees serve Madhava. Right? So then they'll be like the personal associates. Yeah, personal attendants. Yeah. Srila Prabhupada, followers of the Lord. Those who are constantly engaged in the personal service of the Lord are called Anugas, right? So others are, you know, we said before, Seva Nishtas, they're doing services for the Lord constantly. So these ones are doing, and the Parishads are with the Lord, and may be doing, so their association is the main service, and they have other particulars. These ones are always with the Lord, but always rendering service. So it's a slightly different, because the other one may be doing something else, but they're always personally with. Those who are constantly engaged in personal service of the Lord are called Anugas, or followers, right? So they're different they're followers of the Lord rather than associates of the Lord. Examples of such followers are Suchandra, Mandana, Stamba, and Sutamba. They are all inhabitants of the city of Dwarka, and they are dressed and ornamented like the other associates. The specific services entrusted to the Anugas are varied. Madana always bears the umbrella over Lord, over the heads of Lord Krishna. Sutrama is engaged in fanning with the white chamber a bunch of hair. And Sutama is engaged in supplying bedelments. All of them are great devotees, and they're always busy in the transcendental loving service of the Lord.
That's the, there's one artwork in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam with Krishna entering Dwarka.
Uh-huh.
One is holding the umbrella, the other one is holding the chamber.
Mm. Yes, so it must be them. Yeah, because that's what they do, so you don't really, it doesn't seem that there's you know, any specifically major pastimes with them. You know, there might be something mentioned there, they're doing that, so they're part of the scene. You know, so they're kind of more setting the scene, while the other ones, the associates are with it, he's interacting. I'm sure, you know, there'll be that interaction with them, but it's not something for all of us, because we're looking at the bigger, you know, the big pastime, the all the different, what situations are there and everything like that. So those pastimes are like that, you see, as those are always given more prominence. Like the Pandavas are in Eka Chakra for a year. And so, you know, the only thing that stands out of that is that the, when they go out begging, when they bring everything back, half of it goes to Bhima, and the other half then goes for, you know, for guests and the Pandavas. You know, and then that whole pastime of Bakasura. Otherwise, they're there for a year, but you only hear of these two things. Like that. You know, and that, you know, people appreciate it down and this and that, but that's it. So it's like everything other than the Bakasura, you know, pastime, you know, it would all be within, you know, half a page or less.
Mm.
But then Bakasura, that gets expanded. Does that make sense? You know, so then you'll see, is it'll go along a little bit. They move with the sages, they're doing this and that. Then there's Draupadi Swayambar. You know, then they come back and this and that, and then there's something of interest setting up Indrapastha and this and that, and then, you know, and then they'll have the, what do you call it, the burning of the conduct of the forest. But otherwise, that's 11 years. And you only hear a couple of, you know, so the main interactions that we'll appreciate, be attracted by, those are the ones that are brought out. So even though these followers are always there, then their interaction with Krishna is not necessarily brought out. Yes.
Also, it seems these kind of people are more intimate, but so that they can mix even when Krishna is associating with his friends. Or
they can always be there. So depending upon who he's with, so they have that because they're personal. Also, so they have that intimacy that they can always be there, and others won't get disturbed. Like, you know, he's with Uddhava, this, that, and they're holding the fan and that, and they're talking something serious, then you don't have to worry about them. So that's a good point. Raktaka, Patraka, Patri, Madhukanta, Madhuvrata, Rasala, Surilasa, Premakanda, Maradaka, Ananda, Chandrahasa, Payoda, Bakula, Rasada, and Sharada are some of the Anugas in Braja. Some. Unless it gets a few in Dwarka like that, and then it gets to Braja, it gets a lot more. So these must be all the ones that are in you know, the household. Mother Jashoda is seen, and Nanda Baba is seen, and, you know, helping with all the things around the house. Yes.
I think Raktaka is the one who goes to give Krishna's lunch bowl sometimes.
Oh, okay. There he goes, yeah. Srila Prabhupada, as there are Anugas in Dwarka, so there are many Anugas in Vrindavan. As there are Anugas, there are many Anugas in Vrindavan. Also, the names of the Anugas in Vrindavan as follows: Raktaka, Patraka, Patri, Madhukanta, Madhuvrata, Rasala, Suvilasa, Premakanda, Marakanda, Ananda, Chandrahasa, Payoda, Bakula, Rasada, and Sharada. Their forms. I offer my obeisances to Krishna's servants, whose limbs glow with attractive jeweled ornaments, whose complexions are golden, reddish, brown, or black like a bee, and who wear clothing suited to their bodies. 3244. Their service. So it mentioned they wear clothing and all that suitable, so they may have some ornaments or not, but it's not prominent like you will see with the party shots.
I wonder why all their names finishes with A. Ah. There's got to be some meaning instead of U and U.
U would have to be French.
Mostly in India. Huh? At least in South India, I would think.
Yeah, because a consonant always naturally is just followed by A. Right. Only if it's something else, then specifically it's written. So if it's not written, it means it's an A.
Right.
So it's just the standard, you know, that the consonants, you know, are always coming with that A sound. So then it's a matter of it's short or long. So generally the boys will be short, the girls will be long. Like all these here, then they're all of them. The last is short, except for Patri, then it's an I, it's not an A.
Right.
Their service. O Bokola, please quickly wash the yellow cloth. O Varida, please scent the water with this excellent agaru. O Rasala, please prepare the betel nuts with leaves. See, the eastern horizon is already covered with dust raised by the cows. Srila Prabhupada. Descriptions of the bodily features of the Anubis in Vrindavan are given in the following statement. Let us offer our respectful obeisances to the constant associates of the son of Maharaj Nanda. They always stay in Vrindavan, and the bodies are decorated with garlands of pearls and with bangles and bracelets of gold. The colors are like black beads and the golden moon, and they are dressed just to suit their particular special bodily features. Their specific duties can be understood from a statement by Mother Jashoda, who said, Bakula, please cleanse the yellow dress of Krishna. Vardika, you just flavor the bathing water with agaru scent. And Rasala, you just prepare the betel nuts. You can all see that Krishna is approaching. There is dust overhead, and the cows can be seen very distinctly. Right? So we see is that they're all... Okay, so here it even mentions a few names that weren't mentioned before. Now, Bokulu is mentioned, and Rasala, but Vardida wasn't. So that's why it says these are some of the... So then they'll have some... You know, it's just like Draupadi, she... you know, the original... Draupadi? No. Devaki. You know, original father gave 2,000 maidservants. So that means there's that many doing this kind of service. And then some of those will be more like associates. They'll do service one day. And then the others will be followers. Like that. And so, and you see is that then someone else gives more. So then they may have, you know, 2,000 is fairly standard. You want to take care of a palace. You need like that.
You know,
so I mean, sad to say, but it even would outshine Versailles.
One day I was listening to, I was dressing the deities back in Beijing, I was listening to a room conversation in Los Angeles. I had never heard this before. It's the BBT team meeting with Srila Prabhupada.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the members of the BBT said, Prabhupada, you know, we went through the Krishna book and this stuff that we just can't publish. And Prabhupada said, like what? He said, Ugrasen's got 900,000 soldiers and...
it's his personal bodyguard.
And the personal bodyguard, and then this one's got 2,000 maidservants. And then they go through the logistics.
Mm-hmm.
They say, what would people think? Like, where do they live? Where do they sleep? Who's cooking? Where do they pass urine? And Prabhupada says, do you have any problems? And, you know, so I'm dressing the knee and I'm following the conversation, and the conversation gets very heated.
Mm-hmm.
They literally, I mean, I never thought this could happen. They actually challenge Prabhupada and they stand their ground.
Mm-hmm.
And Prabhupada gets so upset. He said, now you make your decision whether you want to be my disciple or not. This is Shastra. Go out and decide. And come back if you want to be my initiated disciple. This will be printed.
Nice. Could you give me a detail of what that conversation was?
I have to, you know, it's the desire tree. I was going through lectures.
Okay.
I can find it again.
If you can give me a detail of that, because I'd like to go and have to see the transcript.
Oh, I just couldn't believe it.
Because, what do you call it? The GBC subcommittee of, what do you call it? Prabhupada's Books Revision Committee.
Right.
Like the sentences. Yes.
And then some of them leave. Prabhupada says, you leave. And then the top DBT guys stay. And Prabhupada said, I will not tolerate anything like this. This is.
Oh, it means after they come, they say that they're.
Like, some of them leave the room. And then the most prominent DBT managers stay in the room. And Prabhupada talks to them. He said, this will not be tolerated. If they have no faith, they can leave.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you can't change, because that will affect millions of people because of their faith or lack of it.
Like I remember last year in one of the lectures you described Krishna going to Kurukshetra for the eclipse. And you describe, you know, who is there, how many elephants, how many servants, how many palanquins. It's like, where do you fit them all?
Yeah. That's the thing. So the Lord's, you know, being the master of the material energy, they all fit very nicely.
Yeah.
You also have where he starts off from, he's in Dwarka, and Rukmini is in Assam. And when the messenger gets there, the swine bar's the next morning. So he goes out with his whole scene. Starting from Dwarka, they start walking. But then, very shortly, they're in Assam, you know, and then they set up camp and all this, and then the next day it's all happening. So, and some other places he also does that, you know. So it's the flavor of going out and walking, but it's not that they have to walk for, you know, 10 days or 20, you know, 3 weeks. It's just it's a flavor of going out and walking, and then by some reason they're there.
Right.
So it's rasa. It doesn't have to logically be obtained. That's the difference in your contemporary drama. They're always having to show bits that you won't think that is stupid. You know, it's just like somewhere in the beginning of the film, the guy does something funny. I mean, just out of the ordinary. You know, he's walking by and there's a can sitting over someplace, and he just sees a rock, picks it up, and from a distance throws it and exactly hits the can. You know, and then it moves on. So you see no point. But later at the end of the film, then there's going to be something that's very dependent upon him being able to throw a rock like that. But now you've already accepted that he can throw a rock like that. So when he does, then you say, okay, this makes sense. It's possible. Like that. But in the Vedic, they only take it up where the rasa has obtained a particular taste. Like in the Chaitanya Charitamrita Nataka, when Lord Chaitanya and his associates at Srivas Thakur's house are performing a drama. So Dvaitacharya plays Krishna, Lord Chaitanya plays Radharani, and, you know, the different devotees play the different associates, you know, of the two of them. And then they're doing that pastime of, you know, the stealing of the flowers. You know what I mean? Well, they're picking flowers, and Krishna says they're stealing in their mind, this and that, and create a whole thing. So it just goes up to the point where the emotions get to this kind of, like, heightened to the point. And then, bang, the scene changes. It doesn't, like, you know, have its little conclusion, because it's just you attaining that taste. And then having done that, you go to something. It's just like you're eating. You know, you're eating something, and okay, a little more salt, a little more pepper, or mix it with this chutney, or this and that, to get the taste you want. And then once you get it to that point, then you try another preparation. So it's like that. So the way it works is so different. And then so what they do is they just go from the drama. They're doing the drama. They haven't technically, you could say, finished or done a conclusion. They all just start doing kirtan. Just dancing and, you know, they're in this ecstasy absorbing the kirtan. And then on the Vedic stage, kind of you have, let's say, if the width of the stage is divided into three, so then at one-third and one-third, you'll have a door. Right? And then you have that center part of the stage just raised where they do things up there, and then there's the front of the stage with those doors. So they're doing kirtan, and they go out that door. They're just going out that door. As they're going out the door and all that, you know, because it's a bunch of them, then one group is going out and just finishing going out. The other group is, the same people are coming back in. Now they're crying, falling on the ground. Because it's changed. So that's the Vedic. So they couldn't care less about this, worrying about how the logistics of all that. As if any of those individuals there could actually take care of that. Oh, how could so many people? Well, you can manage a city. Why? There's, you know, 10 million people in this city. Who's managing it? It's not that big. Like Calcutta. You drive from one, you go from Taliganj, you know, down to Shambhazar. If there's no traffic and all that, you know, and you drove at a regular speed like you would in the city in the West at, you know, 50, 60 kilometers an hour, it literally would probably take you 5 to 7 minutes. That's all the bigger Calcutta is. And in that place, there's packed, you know, 15, 20 million people. So it's right there, you know. And they're not packed in. It's not a slum.
Not
awful. They may be run down, but we're not talking like Bombay. Now, that's slums. They got more people. How many people in Bombay?
25 million.
Yeah, it's like that because, you know, you got 10 extra million in the slum. And it's spread over a huge area. You know, not so huge, but big enough. Bigger than Calcutta. So so it's just, you know, Los Angeles, so many million, but it's huge spread out. New York, Manhattan, it's just a little, you can walk from one place to the next. So any of those people could manage that? So then why are they talking their logic, their this, their that? And, you know,
it's also multidimensional.
Yeah, you know, that's another thing. We're just talking on just practical logistics. They're talking about who here is like the mayor of New York? Who has that qualification? You know? They run it, you know. Who was that guy? That was the guy in New York.
Bloomberg.
Oh, Bloomberg. There was another guy, Gio something or something.
Cuomo.
Yeah, he was big for a long time. I think he was many, many terms. He was like an institution in itself.
Bloomberg also.
Bloomberg, yeah. By just trying, these goes back like 60s and 50s, so it needs a couple of that. Oh, Bloomberg was before that.
No, that guy was before. I don't remember.
Okay. So then, you know, I mean, these guys can manage stuff, and so, and here it's like, you know, we can't even get the temple cleaned, you know. So it's like, yeah.
Giuliani.
Yeah. That's Giuliani.
You're Italian. Are the Italians or Jews? That's it.
Is there another option?
Everything else is not interesting.
Yeah. I'm saying the Russians are busy. You know, they got their own place to take care of. You know, so you know, it's like so it's like that's the thing is that materially it means you know Prabhupada made the point that of first. It means like, let's say, you'd have devotees in the temple, they'd be making a comment about the president, how he's not doing things right. And Prabhupada's point was, first you do what he can do. When you can do what he can do, then you can talk about where it's strong and weak. So that you can't manage a temple, so then why are you talking? About management, you can want to talk about his bhakti or something, that's another thing. But you're talking about his management, you're not a manager. You know, so Prabhupada's very practical like that. So even just here, just like it says, are you a king? Are you running? You know, Dwarka and something like that. You know, so then why are you even talking? Then on top of that, then the faith and just, you know, devotion and the spiritual world's unlimited. So why, how they wouldn't fit there? We're saying, oh no, but it's 10 square miles and all that. But the point is that, what does that got to do with it? That's what's manifest so we can appreciate. You know, from all these angles. Problem. But we'd really like to get that. And we'll print it out and give it to some appropriate people.
That lecture, June 26, 1975.
Oh, you have? So the transcription is there?
Yes.
Okay. If you could print out the whole thing.
Yes.
The what? You found it?
Yes, I just typed the same.
Oh,
the BBT conference.
Okay, yeah. So it's a BBT conference. Yeah, yeah. No, if you can print that out.
Yeah.
That'd be very nice. Thank you.
Clearly, you did.
Yeah, yeah. No, good, good. You know, people know what they're dealing with. You know? I mean, if you wanted to re-edit the Brahma Samhita, it probably said you don't touch one syllable. You know, that's how my Guru Maharaj spoke. That's the way it is. Not, oh, but we don't know. So what? Get a dictionary. Otherwise, because once you change one thing, you keep going. I mean, there's that famous story, at least, and I think at least our rabbi told it, is that, you know, the one where it's on, somebody comes to the temple, I'm not sure when, maybe in the evening before, and the rabbi's sitting there in the darkness. And they ask, you know, why you're sitting in the darkness? He says, because I, you know, forgot to arrange to turn on the lights before. He says, no, big deal, you're going to do your service, and I need to turn on the light. He says, if I do that, then how many other things I can adjust? So he says, so I'm not touching any of it, you know. Otherwise, you know, I'll adjust the cooking, I'll adjust this, I'll adjust everything, you know. And you didn't hear that one?
No, well, you know, it's... You know, we're divided into the Ashkenaz and the Sephardis. Maybe it's an Ashkenaz story.
Oh, yeah, probably an Ashkenaz.
Maybe it's a story for a specific purpose.
It could be. It could have been also, it could have been something that happened over there.
Because I haven't heard that one.
But you don't have any story like that, similar or something?
The Sephardis, no. Maybe instead of light, it's scandal. I'm not sure.
Okay. Yeah, the principle is don't change things.
Big controversy.
Yeah.
Huge. Massive.
Yeah, yeah. I guess the point is unless you're perfect, how do you even know that what you're doing has any value? You can say, yeah, but people won't accept that, but that's these people. And then the modes change and it's different. Yes.
Like when I was staying in villages. The whole family used to go to, in summer, to our village home. Mm-hmm. And not only our, all the other, like, daughters. We were somewhere around 40 people.
Right.
In one home stay.
Right.
And yeah. Then all the ladies sleeping down, all the boys, children sleeping in between or anywhere, everywhere. Only, like, old people sleeping on that cots, one or two cots.
Yeah, no, it's just like our temples, yeah. I remember. Or we had that place in St. Louis on McLeod, whatever it was. You know, it's just a regular size, I think it was maybe a 3-story house. Or maybe it was 2-story as an attic, I don't know, because we never knew what was upstairs, because that was the Brahmacharini ashram. And a basement, you know. But it's not big, it's a regular footprint, it's not that big. I mean, the width was, you came in the fourth, yeah, it wasn't, it would have been basically about as wide as this, here, this room and that veranda. That would be the width. Then you come in, the temple. Yeah, it wouldn't be much more. Maybe this room and then that over there. Maybe a touch more. Maybe a little longer. Not much. But there's, you know, there'll be, you know, 30, 50 people living in it, depending upon, you know, which phase of the moon is on. And people couldn't, how can they, you know, they're going crazy if there's 2 or 3 people in a house like that. And here we're living 50 people and no problem.
In Russia, they would say that in the beginning, when it was really underground, they would hold programs for 100 people in 2 rooms.
Yeah.
You know, the only problem was the coats and the boots. that took the most of the place. People could really squeeze in one room.
Standing.
Nobody could sit
down. Yeah.
And
not
they couldn't sit to eat. They were standing and eating.
Uh-huh.
Because the coats, because it's winter, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And all their paraphernalia took one room.
We could, well, actually, you're so close to each other, you could, you know, share plates. One plate, two or three people could eat off of it, you know.
Yeah, something like that.
When, you know, how the French people used to criticize when we had a new Maya or castle.
Oh, okay.
They say, hey, you guys living in castles. Say, yeah, come and live with us. 100 of us in the castle.
then they're quiet.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Come and live with us.
Yeah, well. Bring the whole family. Can even bring his cows, right? You know.
Yeah.
So it's just the cultural things. It's just even just based on the cultural things they don't understand. Let alone, you know, going and then there's the qualifications that they have, and then you have the actual transcendental. But even on the mundane platform, it's like they don't have a position to talk.
I just pick up Kumbhamela.
Yeah, Kumbhamela. You know, what's 40, 50 million people in that little place? And they're all there happy. And it's not that packed. There's plenty of space. You know, you walk around, it's always quite open. But, you know, there's, yeah, 40, 50 million people all there. That's like, you know, Venice Beach or something. You know? that famous beach in Rio, you know.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's just like, that's it. That's all it is. Among the Anubis in Braja, Raktaka is the chief. 3246. Raktaka's form. I am the follower of Raktaka, who is dressed in yellow cloth, whose effulgence conquers that of new grass, who is expertly engaged in Krishna's service, and who has a beautiful voice for singing. 3247. So that means sometimes he must sing for Krishna. Braktak's bhakti. So they're taking like the head of one of these groups and then showing, you know, so illustrating. Bhaktaka's bhakti. Oh, Rasada, listen. May I always have the highest attraction for serving the lotus feet of he who is famous as the son of the king of Braja, who has held up Govardhana. Srila Prabhupada. Among all the Anugas, Raktaka is considered to be the chief, because that's the one generally in the pastimes of you do hear a name of these,
yeah.
Anubis, you'll hear his name. Yeah, Raktaka and would say Patrika, yeah. The description of his bodily features is as follows. He wears yellow clothing and his bodily color is just like newly grown grass. He is very expert in singing and is always engaged in the service of the son of Maharaj Nanda. Let us all become the followers of Raktaka in offering transcendental loving service to Krishna. An example of the attachment felt by Raktaka towards Lord Krishna can be understood from this statement to Rasada. Just hear me, please place me so that I may always be engaged in the service of Lord Krishna, who has now become famous as the lifter of Govardhan Hill. Srila Jiva Goswami. When Krishna treated Rasada as a friend, his mood as a servant became restricted. Noticing that, Rasada asked Raktaka about it. Raktaka then replied with this statement, that he is always aspiring for service, right? So it means, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah, if you want to move into that, you can do that. I'm going to be doing service, you know, because they're followers. So instead of becoming more like a parishad, then, I'm a follower. So they have their flavors and moves, and they're very natural.
So in Vrindavan, can we say, they are coward boys, and they are boys. In other words, they are boys who never go out to the pasture, who just do service for Krishna back.
Yeah, because, I mean, you're always going to have assistants, because the point is that you're going to have the leaders of society, the Brahmacharis, Vaishyas, and then you're going to have those that assist them. So these would be in the category of assisting them. So this assisting Mother Yashoda, Nanda Baba, you know, in their,
right,
you know, personal, you know, affairs, the home and or occupational activities.
Right.
And so they maybe, you know, just like we're hearing here, there'll be somebody in the Goshala, there'll be somebody else managing the place, or somebody the security guard. Like, you remember when they moved from Gokula to Vrindavan, then it mentions that they went with all the bullock carts and like that, and then they put them in circles, and then, you know, the outer circle was then all the guys with sticks and everything like that and all that. Then there was this, and then the ladies, and then like this, it had all the... So you have so many personalities that they're serving in that. That's why you're saying it's unlimited. We're hearing about the major aspects, you know, so the major three rasas, and then the other ones and how they're assisting in those. Because even we're hearing of Rataka and Patraka, it's in connection with doing something for Mother Yashoda or something for Krishna or like this and that. So it's not Krishna and Rataka's pastime. You know, it's a pastime that's assisting in some other aspects. Does that make sense? Like we were discussing before, is that the Shanta Ras and the Dasya Ras, they actually assist in the pastimes. So the pastimes means the conjugal, parental, and friendship rasas, and then they assist in those.
So I'm just wondering, you have the rasas, can we say that between each rasa there is some overarching, like, you know, you have different shades of colors that go from one to the other?
But it seems to be as the ones at one side, like you see those of the Sharanyas, they had that aspect of the Shanta, but now, or even the Jnani, but when they've come forward into that absorption in the Lord, they've come up to the Dasya aspect. And so they'll have some aspect of the other, you know. And then these Parishads, then they'll have some aspect of these other rasas. You know, that they're always with. Friendship, you know, like that.
It's not clear cut from one to the other.
It means it is, but it doesn't mean that it's not on the border.
Yeah.
It's an exact, because if it's not clear cut, it'll be called by whichever is that common point.
Right.
But it does have a unique flavor, just like here. You know, we think servant just a servant, and it gives three different types of servants. You know, and that's within that one category. It means there's four kinds of servants, and in each category, then it has some. You know, so I think in the the demigods, the ones that they appointed, there were some divisions, or it was just the demigods?
Just the demigods.
And then Ashrita, then there's three divisions, and then the Anugas, then you have those in Dwarka, and then those in Vrindavan. And so then, you know, we'll see what the next one is and how it is. So there's always these fine points, yes.
Prabhupada gives one example of one driver of a big gentleman, and then when he was moving in the car, he used to always ask the driver's opinions on whatever dishes. Because he was serving him for the last 30, 40 years.
Yes.
He's like an associate now.
Mm-hmm.
But by his social position and designation, he's a servant as a driver.
Yes, yes.
He could ask and decide on any.
Yes, that's true. So you just have that kind of, that each one has, and there's always... Because there's always going to be a mix. Because if you have one thing, it's just like in cooking, you have one thing, and then you have the other thing, but you have something that can kind of be in between. You know, and make variety of that. And so then, you know, it's like you have the main prep, you have a chutney, but, you know, the chutney is more on the sweet side, or more on the sour, more on the hot. You know, it's still a chutney, but it goes in a different way. And so makes sense.
Because while we've been discussing this today, I kept having in mind the Shraddha to Prema.
Yes.
And between each category, there is some, you know, bridging over.
Well, it's like, yes, it's like in astrology or astronomy, where you have the position of the planets. So you have the Kala Chakra, and it's divided by 12. So I can't remember what it's a certain amount of degrees, 30 degrees, I think, each. Each one or something, right? So then within that, then it's divided into three parts. So there's it's got some proportion how it is, but there's the first third, then the middle third, and the end third. So the beginning third is like the end third of the other one, but it'll be similar, but it'll have the flavor of this house or whatever it is that is. and the other one have the flavor of that. So it's the same, but it has those two flavors. Mm. You know, it's like, yeah. And then, you know, like you have the Dwarka service, and you have the Vrindavan. And then in that group, then the last one in that group will be like the beginning of the next.
Yes.
You know, it's the same way as the Mahadash. The end of the Mahadash will have some of the flavors of the beginning of the next Mahadash. There'll be always an overlap, or the seasons. You see, it's that the season you have to have the 2 months, right? But then let's say you're thinking it's going from the, you know, Purnima. So that means from the Purnima to the Amavasya, even though it's the next season, will have a flavor like the previous season. Then from that Amavasya to the next Amavasya, that will be, let's say, the pure form of that season. Mm-hmm. Then from that Amavasya to the full moon, the second month, that'll start to have flavors of the next season. You know, so that way then you get that. It's also like an eating, because each season you have some recommendations. So then you start mixing those, you know, some aspects of it, and then it turns into the next. So you're always going to have night, day, you have the sandhya. But, you know, this side is more like day, that side is more like night. So there's always going to be. So in Shraddha Prema, I think Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur mentions this, that you can divide each one into three.
Right.
And so then, let's say I have Nishta. So the first part of Nishta will be, it still have an Anartha Nivritti elements in it, but it still has that faith, but the heart hasn't been as purified as much. So that's why you see Rupa Goswami says Nishta starts at 60%. The Prabhupada mentions 75. So Prabhupada's talking about the middle. That middle, that's 75. Now you can say this is solid Nishta, otherwise it has that little flavor. You know, he starts there, but it doesn't come into its glory until 75. Then you'll see, then that laster, it'll start to get a little taste here and there. But it's not enough that you would call it ruchi. And then when ruchi starts, then you'll have that little flavor of that nishta aspect. And it's not, then it'll have that main thing of just that ruchi. Then the end part of that will start to have elements that you start to get attachment because of that ruchi. Yeah. You understand? So it'll always be like that. In the same way as that even in Bhava, then you're going to have that first part, the Shravana Dasa, Varana Dasa, and Smarana Dasa. It's going to have that kind of, you know, that bit like sadhana. You know, that aspect that it hasn't come from. But once it comes to that Purva Raga, it's total attachment. Then that middle part, then you're going to be associated with Krishna and everything like that. But then it'll come to the part of prema.
Mm-hmm.
Then it'll start to have that aspect. Then it moves from, you know, Apandas into somebody else. So you always, everything always has a beginning, middle, and end. It's just that in the material world it's controlled by time, in the spiritual world it's not. Anything you do, you want to cook, you have to set up and do everything, prepare and all that. Then you actually do cooking. And then there's what's done after cooking, you know, the arranging and the serving and this, and then cleaning and all, you know, so all these. So everything has a beginning, middle, and an end. So any ritual has that, anything you're doing has that. So that's a lot of times when you see those who don't understand this, then they just talk about the middle part. We're doing all this, so we're going to have a festival. Okay, so we'll have this, we'll bathe this and that. And then they think the festival's done. What about, oh, how do you get those ingredients? Who's going to do it? What are you going to do after? But it's like this last, I think, the last two years, I think. Maybe it's been a little more. The last 2 years, the temple takes charge of the Charyamrita because they want to distribute it to everybody, because you have inside, you have outside and all that. Up to that point, it was always expected that we made it, you do something with it. It's like the Pujaris. Well, the Pujaris, they're busy with that, and take the deities back, remove all the paraphernalia, you know, and so then the Charyamrita sits there, and then it's a riot as everybody jumps on it, and then a few people bring bottles, they get away with it, you know, so 10 people get away with all the Charyamrita, and there's none for anybody else, and, you know, so then it was figured out, the temple thought, this is stupid, so then they thought, you know, we'll manage it. But it's just, these things take time. So if you just think of the middle, it won't happen. And so that's generally what you have in the discussions and, you know, committees. Yes.
I remember we were reading in the purport Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he takes the 9 stages mentioned by Rupa Goswami, you know, right, from Shraddha to Prema,
yes,
and then breaks it into 14. It's right there in the commentary on Bhagavatam. But what's interesting in that commentary, the subsections are only up to Ruchi. From Ruchi, it's all the same, clear.
Right.
But the first five stages, he subdivides them and gives them different terms even. It's there in the Sarattva Darshan.
Oh, okay. And what verse?
I don't remember the verse, but it's in the 10th canto.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's right there. Wait, wait.
Whose commentary?
Which one, Chakra?
It's in the study guide.
Yeah, I remember we were reading this I was like, wow, this is 14, and then I was like completely confused.
Yeah, no, all but it is that these stages that of 3, 3, 3, 3, then you can, some of them would be more prominent, so they're worthy of getting a name. You only give a name if it's different enough that you can identify. But it doesn't mean that it's actually, like all the ashritas, there's three features, but they're all still ashritas. You know, stands out. There may be some other something in between this and that, but these stand out, so these ones will be given names. So it'll always be like that. You know, you're doing something, and anything is like that. It's different enough that it has its own element, it gets a name. Otherwise, it's just all part of the same thing. You know. Yes?
Also, one small point on that. Somebody who has that mixed flavor, especially in the rasas, they help in the pastime of one particular rasa not going beyond the bounds, like Lord Balaram.
Okay.
He can contain the vatsalya rasa of parents, like going out of the bond, and he can pull Krishna out, and he can stop the coward boys going highly crazy, then his presence will.
Okay, stop. Yeah, because he can deal with both of them. Okay, interesting. Does that make sense? So that in between they control, they keep the flavors in their places. Yeah, otherwise the boys would go crazy and mother would show this house, that would create a problem.
Or she will follow them in the forest.
Balaram. Yeah, because Balaram says we'll take care, and they all got their, you know, swords and shields and bows and arrows, and then it's okay, then it'll be okay. If they just say, no, we're gonna go out, then she'll send somebody with them. Or come herself. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Jai Shri Prabhupada ki Samavita Bhaktivinoda ki Jai Nitai Prabhupada ki